We're going to turn in our Bibles today because I want to talk about the greatest fighter pilot that Cal Hoagie ever knew. And Cal Hoagie knew some great fighter pilots. But in order to do that, we've got to go back prior to 1957. Because 1957, and it was well after that, that fighter pilots had to have maps. Because if they didn't have maps, they got lost. Right, Cal? So, I want you to find a map. And if you don't have a map in front of you, I want you to raise your hand because you're going to get lost and you may end up landing in Hanoi. So, can you find a Bible? If you can't find a Bible, please raise your hand. And we have people who are ready to give you Bibles. This is really important. Does everybody have a Bible? I want to make sure you've got one. Okay. I'm looking. All right. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 110. And if you're using a Bible in the pews, one of the ones that I like, that would be on page 700. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And in a moment, we're going to turn to a passage in the New Testament. But before we do, may we pray. Almighty God, I'm a dumb dog, and I don't know how to bark. But would you grant that as I bark, attempting to tell people about Mary Jane, that you will enable me to bark for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, if you'd turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to go on a journey today. We're going to fly over Vietnam. And we're going to hopefully not land in Hanoi. Okay. Page 1383, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to understand something today. This building is filled with millions of people, but you can't see them. We're told here that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses. Look with me, if you will, just on the other page. And that's page 1384, where he tells us in Hebrews 13:22, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men. And of course that word men means people. To just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Think about it with me for a moment, if you will. Mary Jane's very best friend in the world was Barbara Benson. And Barbara went to be with Jesus some years back. And so I want you to know something. Today, Barbara's over there. And then more recently, we lost McGinney. And McGinney's over there. And then we lost Don Orr. Over there. You say, well, you're being a little imaginative with the text. That's okay. It's an application of the text. What I want you to understand is that when the church on earth worships, the church in heaven worships, we're told that we have gone. No, we're not told that we have gone. We're told that we have come. What that means in verse 22 is that we are here and now present in the hosts of heaven. I want you to know that Mary Jane is praying for us today. She's praying for us today because she's with Jesus and she loves the Lord Jesus Christ and she loves you and she misses you and she understands the difficulties of life. And I want you to understand that Mary Jane did fight the good fight and that Mary Jane flew her airplane of life and that she safely landed that airplane and that she's safe and secure from all alarms. But I want you to know that the big war is not over yet. Her battle, immediate battle, is over. She's landed and she's safe and she's secure. But she's aware of the struggles that you and I face. She's aware of the pain, of loss, of what it's like to lose somebody. All you had to do was listen to the obituary, how many people she lost. So we are told here that we have come, which literally means we are now present in the middle of millions and millions of celebrators. That's what he says. We've come, we are present in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. I want you to understand something about people. I learned this many years ago. People are not perfect. Everybody is a sinner. And if anybody ever tells you that he is no longer a sinner, he needs to go where I once went, to the funny farm. People that believe they don't sin anymore are nuts. But I want to tell you something about Mary Jane. She no longer sins. She's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she is in a wonderful place that's described here like a great mountain. And after Barbara went to be with Jesus, my wife, Sandy, became very close with Mary Jane. Because my wife believes, and who am I to question my wife, that when she was run over by that log truck on October 10th, 1988, she went to heaven. And so she had a special bond with Mary Jane, especially in Mary Jane's last 4 plus years. Because Sandy never got to the top of the mountain. She was only out there in the outskirts. But she knew it, and it changed her life. And why it changed her life was this. Before that, my wife was a lovely, sweet Southern girl. But after that experience, my wife became a fearless person. You see, when she saw the outskirts of heaven, it took away from her the incomplete and entire fear of death. She's no longer afraid of death. And when you're no longer afraid of death, you're no longer afraid of anything. Because what's the worst they can do to you? It's kill you. And so they became special friends. Mary Jane's perfect. She no longer struggles with sin. You struggle with sin, don't you? Be honest. Don't lie to me. You struggle with sin. Everybody struggles with sin. Everybody. And the deadliest of all sins, you know what it is? You're going to name some bizarre, twisted thing that I studied about in the 60s in abnormal psychology. But the greatest of all those things is the sin of pride. And that'll kill you. Because pride does to you what the Philistines did to Samson. It blinds your eyes so you can't see yourself. So, Mary Jane no longer has pride. God began to strip her of her dignity in the last days of her life. Utterly, totally, and completely. And so, around 5:15 Wednesday, the Lord Jesus sent His angels to come and take her home to be with Him. And she's perfect now. Wouldn't you like to be prayed for by somebody who's completely perfect? Have you ever begun to pray for somebody, and as you began to pray for that person, you began to feel in your heart negative things like, you know, somebody done another, what is that saying? Another
Somebody wrong.
So. That's it. I knew Dirk would know it. And you start thinking about how that person's done you wrong. And you can't even pray without sinning. But listen, she can pray without sinning now. And she's praying for us here. And she's praying for me because she knows I'm weak and I'm frail. And so there we have it here. And then, as we think about Mary Jane being with us and the saints being with us, we don't pray to her. She prays for us. I want us to look at another passage of Scripture. And that's over in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And please look at that map because you're going to land in Hanoi if you don't. Or you might land in the China Sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you're using those Bibles in the pews, you'll find this on page 1324. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. You ever think about that for a moment? We don't need to feel pity for Mary Jane. Because Mary Jane in her last days had one foot in this world and another foot in the other. And from time to time she'd slip back into this world and talk to her family. And from time to time she'd be in the other world. And you know what? She faced the same struggle Sandy faced. Sandy had to come back to a house with five children from a senior at Ash to a preschooler to my mother who suffered from senile dementia. And when she realized what she was coming back to, she was very mad at God. And I want to tell you something. If you could just read Mary Jane's mind right now, you would know there is no way in the world she would come back here because she's seen the King, the Lord of glory. There was a wonderful person who gave a speech back on April the 3rd, 1968 at the world headquarters of the Church of God in Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. And this is what he said. Like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go to the mountain. And I've looked over it, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I want you to know something. That this past Wednesday, Mary Jane could see the glory of the coming of the Lord. And that's why she was a mighty warrior. That's why she would never come back here. That's why she was the greatest fighter pilot that Cal Hoagie ever knew. And he knew a lot of them. Now let's look at this for a moment. Verse 20, page 1324. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Why is there death? You think God decided to be mean to people and make things happen in a bad way for people? No, these were things that were, while not outside of God's control, they were the consequences of human behavior. And God wanted to turn that terrible thing, the entrance of sin and death into our world, into something wonderful and glorious. So God took something that was ordained, but not by, He ordained it, but He permitted it, but not by a bare permission. And He turned it into something wonderful. And so death came into the world, something that was not part of God's original creation. And this is what happens. Look at verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Now look at verse 24. Then comes the end. When He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. I want you to think about that with me for a moment. We try to disguise death. We try to make death smell good and look good. We try to talk about the dead as if they're asleep. But they're really not asleep. The body sleeps, but the spirit is gone to be with Jesus. And there's nothing more obvious than a dead person whose spirit has left that person's body. Death was not part of God's plan for us. Death is an alien to our planet, and death is called here an enemy. An enemy. Mary Jane was a fighter, and she fought to the very end. She gave the last full measure. And in her fighting to the very end, she finally took off for her last flight in this life. And she landed safely on the airfield of heaven. But there's more to come. And the more to come is right here in verse 26. Because while she won her battles, the last battle is yet to come. And that's the battle when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth for His saints, with His saints. It seems to me, as I read my Bible, it's all one thing. You don't need a chart to understand Bible prophecy. It's very simple. And so the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And when is it going to be destroyed? Well, it isn't destroyed today. And it isn't going to be destroyed next week or next month. And in a little bit, we're going to take Mary Jane's mortal remains to the cemetery across the river. And we're going to put her body into the earth. And the earth is going to hold her body. And her body is going to be like her body would be sleeping in the grave. But her soul's not asleep. Her soul is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And her soul is going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ till the trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts. And when that happens, that's when verse 26 is going to be fulfilled. You understand? Do you understand how Mary Jane is a great fighter pilot? And do you understand that she made her flight through life safely? Man's flight through life is not sustained by the power of his knowledge. Man's flight through life is sustained by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Mary Jane landed safely, but she's going to take off again. And she's going to take off with a mighty squadron. And she's going to take off led by the greatest fighter pilot that has ever been known in the history of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord. And she, along with millions and millions and untold millions of others, are going to fly one last mission. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And she'll rise from the dead. May we pray. Lord, we celebrate Your victory through Mary Jane. We celebrate the fact that she no longer suffers in this life. We celebrate the fact that her spirit, her soul, is with the Lord Jesus Christ and an innumerable company of angels in the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. We thank You, Lord, that she's not yet completely at rest, completely at peace. Because while the battle is won, the war has not yet been won. And Lord, we await that glorious and wonderful day when the graves will be opened and Mary Jane's body will clothe itself with immortality. And she will be in her body, transformed ever with the Lord. May we find comfort in these words for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.